Well, amen. Who's excited to be in the house of the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Amen. It's like you guys know I'm going to say that or something, so everybody's prepared. It's good to be here, though, isn't it? Amen. I always have something to be thankful for. I didn't say anything back there because I knew you'd have to listen to me enough up here. But I was thinking today, and I was listening to a church we used to go to out in Biloxi, and I was listening to that pastor, and I'm just thankful for the little bit of influence he had in my life, even though I was lost at that time. And then this past Sunday, we got to go to Enid, and thankful for the pastor that he gave us there, and then thankful for the pastor that he's gave us here as well. Amen? Just giving us the privilege to grow as preachers, but also challenges us to just grow as a person. Amen? So I'm thankful for that. Proverbs chapter 3, if you have your Bibles. Proverbs chapter 3 will stand for the reading here. We're going to read down through verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 1. When you found it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. There should be more amens now.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Heavenly Father, we come before you again, Lord, just thankful, Lord, to be able to have a church that we can come to, a church where we can sing songs, Lord, share burdens and prayer requests, Lord, share just about the goodness that you've done in our life. God, I'm thankful for that. Thankful for passages like this, Lord, that to me, Lord, it's been such an encouragement to me, especially these last few months, God. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with the preaching of your word tonight, Lord, that you bless it, that you'd have the things said that would bring glory and honor to you, Lord, but also maybe be a challenge to us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So recently I've done a lot of traveling, and I've had the privilege of going to a few different churches in the areas I've been to. And one thing that I've noticed and something that seems to be more and more common is our Christians that seem to be just unhappy. And I'm not talking about necessarily unfriendly, but just generally unhappy Christians. I'm sure you'd agree with me that we live in a world that it doesn't take a whole lot to bring unhappiness, because more times than not, we look at the things the world has to offer to bring us happiness rather than looking to where we need to be looking. And it's, you know, when I'm traveling, and usually it's just me, so the kids aren't, you know, all over me, and Emily's not, she never nags at me, so I'm not going to say that. But and I'm traveling, and I'm sitting on a plane or in the car, whatever it is, and I get to thinking about how good God is, and I think about my life and the wonderful salvation that he's given me through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's something we should all be thankful for, amen? And if God gives us his best and he saves us and he gives us in his word a picture of what heaven's going to be like, it's going to be a great thing. But he gives us that picture in the Bible, and I think about that, and obviously when God saved us and he left us here, he expects us to be able to enjoy being here. And because our joy, it shouldn't come from things around us, but our joy should come from our relationship with him, our relationship with God. And, you know, there are many things that come to mind when we think about why people are unhappy. There are people that are unhappy because of their home situation. And we know the devil, he does a good job at destroying the home, especially today. And problems in the home, they bring a lot of unhappiness for Christians. And there are a lot of people that are unhappy because of maybe their job situation. They don't like their job, or they don't like their boss. It just brings unhappiness to them. There are people that are unhappy because of their financial situation. And I think this one's majority, not a majority, let me figure out how to word this. This is a big category out of these ones I'm mentioning, because we look at our finances and the things that we can get, and it keeps us from enjoying God and enjoying life. Just today, I was you might have heard about the pastor over in Sand Springs, and I was talking to a guy at work that he was supposed to marry them in a couple months, and he ended up stealing all the money from the church. Maybe you heard that on the news today, I don't know. But he was talking about that pastor and how he's supposed to marry him, and he was just saying how good of a guy he was, but he was pretty close with him, and this guy, he was just unhappy with the things that God gave him, so he turned to other things. You know, I believe without a doubt that despite the fact that this world isn't going to get any better, God wants us, no matter our situation in this life, to understand that life can be enjoyed and life can be satisfying. Amen. We can have joy in life. The pastor that I was listening to from Biloxi, he said, when we take our eyes off the world and start looking to God, we'll have real joy. Right. You know, recently, Emily and myself and our kids, our family, and some of you, we were going through some trials and tests of faith, and I was able to keep going because of chapters in the books of the Bible like this, and chapters like Proverbs 3 right here, where it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and passages like Lamentations 3, and I think about when we were going through that, through the first situation, there was we were going through the revival, and only God could have orchestrated that in our lives, if you can think back to the revival and the messages that were going on there. But in so many words, through this trial, I was asking God how I could have joy in life when nothing seems to be going right. The world, it literally felt like it was falling apart and it was miserable. At least to us it was, but sorry. Tonight I want to take this passage and ask a question. How can I live in joy as a Christian? As Christians here tonight, I think a majority of us here have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. As a Christian, how can I keep from living in unhappiness? Solomon, the wisest and richest man that ever lived, and someone that went through almost everything in life, in these 10 verses, and I think we can go further, but tonight we're going to use the first 10 verses. He gave us some words of wisdom on how to live a joyful life. How many of us want to live a good life? Raise your hand by a show of hand. How many want to live a good life? So there are 5 biblical principles here in this passage that I guarantee if we all put them into practice, we will have joy in life. We may have some family problems, some financial problems, or you can fill in the blank, whatever your situation is in life. We may have a lot of things and problems going on, but I believe that the Word of God has the answer to every situation that we face. You know, these principles there in this here, they're very practical, and if we follow them and our circumstances don't change, God will make life enjoyable and worth living. So how can I live in joy? There are 10 verses here. I think we can take one principle for every 2 verses. So that's, for those of us that aren't good at math, I did put it in the calculator. That's 5 principles here. Verse 1 and 2 with me. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Number 1, in my situation, how can I have joy? Keep God's commandments. I told you they're very practical. Keep God's commandments. Nobody, no matter how rich you may be and no matter how blessed you are, myself included, nobody is ever going to live in joy without keeping God's commandments. It says there, keep my commandments. In other words, we have to let everything we do in this life be ruled by the Word of God. Not by our feelings or our opinions, but I have to make a decision that I'm going to live my life according to the Bible. When we go opposite the Bible, we'll be looking for joy in something else, and it might bring joy for a while, but it's not the right kind of joy. And if the Word of God is important to us, we need to listen to it.
You're right.
When I was getting ready for this, I read a quote in the Bible, or it said, not the Bible said, this quote said, when the Word of God is open, I need to listen to it, learn it, love it, and live by it. You agree with that? I thought that was a good quote to come across when preparing for this. Verse 2, If I keep God's commandments, here's what will happen. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. For length of days and long life. Who wants to leave this world soon? I mean, you're so tired of this world, you just want to die. Nobody, right? How many of us want to live a long life? Amen. Some of these kids in here, they're looking at even myself, and they're like, he's old. I don't know if I'm going to make it that long. But keep God's commandments, and he says it'll lengthen our days. It'll do more than working out, more than eating your vitamins, more than... I was reading another crazy... I don't even know why I read the news sometimes. But that... I was thinking about technology. We keep God's commandments, it'll give us longer life than technology will. That sheep that was cloned and it died. Technology is kind of scary sometimes, isn't it? But remember, God's the giver of life. Okay, we're not going to talk about that. But so do right, and God might help us live a little longer. Now, don't twist my words tonight, okay? Let's not twist the Bible. But let's, you know, it's there are plenty of good people that don't live a long life. Amen? Amen. Number two, how do I live in joy? So it goes on. Let me finish that thought real quick. It goes on here to say he'll make our days better. It says, in peace shall they add to thee. Without a doubt, we need the peace of God, don't we? It's hard to go through this world without the peace of God. You know, you think about just even simple things like sending your kids to school. It takes God to protect them, doesn't it? Hey, we need God's peace in life. God says keep his commandments and he'll give us peace that we can't find in anything else. Number two, how do I live in joy? Look at verse 3 with me. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Be a person of character. Be a person of character. He mentions two words. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. These two words would be the product of character. And I'm trying to use all C's. That's why I used character there. So I'm pretty proud of myself. So what is character? Character is made up of selflessness. If we want to enjoy life, we have to stop thinking about ourselves and start thinking more about other people. Some of the happiest Christians I know are people that always seem to be looking out for other people. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 3, he said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. If we're honest with ourselves, we're all selfish people, aren't we? And we could all use a little more selflessness in life. People say, you know, they'll say, and then this one, I guess, kind of hits me. I don't like to be categorized with them, but they'll say them millennials or them teenagers, they're selfish. But truth is, we learned it from somewhere. And we could all use a little more humbleness, realizing God could have been selfish toward us, and we'd all be rotten in hell today. God saved us to be more Christ-like or serve others better than we serve ourselves. So, back to character. Character starts with mercy, and then it says truth. To have joy, we have to be people that tell the truth. That's what the Bible says. Truth is sincerity. Truth is truth. I don't really know how else to explain truth. Everybody knows what truth means. I think about growing up, you always hear the story about the kid that puts his hand in the cookie jar. And then mom comes in. I didn't have them, and they had the chocolate and stuff all over their face, but they didn't get in the cookie jar. We need to be Christians that tell the truth. Look at verse 4. It says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God in man. So if I have character, if I live a selfless and sincere life, God promises that I'll have favor in the sight of God, in his sight. In other words, I'll be able to live with fullness in my heart because there will be nothing between me and God. Then God says he'll make sure we have favor in the sight of man. No need to try to please man if we're right with God, amen? But he'll make sure we're right with others. Be a Christian of good character. Number three, how do I live in joy? How do I live in joy? Have true confidence in God. You know, I say true confidence because we can have confidence in a lot of things, but it's not necessarily true confidence. Do you get where I'm going with that? True confidence isn't found in people, money, things, ability, how smart we are, but we have to put all dependence or trust in the Lord. Look at verse 5 with me. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. My confidence has to be in the one who saved me. And we have to believe that God can take us through anything, any situation we go through in life. The rest of that verse says, and lean not into thine own understanding. So to have full dependence on God, we must come to a point that we have distrust in self. And I, when I read this, I think about my brother Joe, and he's somebody that I can go to and I can vent to, I can ask advice from, and everything else in life. And we should all probably have somebody like that in our life. But I think about him, and he always says, Trevor, I don't even trust myself. You know what essentially he's saying? He might say it in different words, but essentially what he's saying is, Trevor, you need to trust God and not trust whatever the situation is that's going on. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. You know, most of us, if we're honest, we don't find much wrong with ourselves. At least I don't. Maybe some other people do, but I don't. I think that everything that goes through my mind is right. And a lot of times, unfortunately, that comes out. And, you know, we got to realize that we're wrong sometimes. Amen? Amen. When we start trusting in self and not depending on God, we'll bring misery that we wouldn't have had otherwise. True confidence in God is realizing that verses like Romans 7, verse 18 through 23, it says, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Goes on to say, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. We have to put in true confidence in God is realizing that verses like that are true. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We can't trust our flesh. We can't trust ourselves. But we have to put true, total confidence in God. And then look at verse 6 with me. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We started out by keeping God's commandments. And because we're keeping God's commandments, we should have a desire to do not what I want to do, not what Trevor wants to do or what you want to do, but what God wants for us to do, what God wants to do through us. You know, if we do that, he will lead us and bless us every step we take. We need to have total dependence on God. Number 4, how do I live in joy? Don't be conceited. Look at verse 7. It says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So what does it mean to not be conceited? Well, 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. You know, humility is something that is needed to have joy in life. We need to learn to be humbler people. Remember, this is something that spoke to me in my life, and I hope that God can use it to speak to you too. Look at verse 70, the second part again there. It says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. If I'm going to have joy, I not only need to be humble, but I need to strive to be holy. As I said, strive to be holy. In other words, I need to resist sin and fear God. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. God is still holy. He's just as holy today as he's ever been, and he wants us to be holy. Be humble, be holy. In verse 8 it says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You know, life can be lived in joy when Christians, I'm not talking about lost people tonight, I said that at the beginning. I'm talking about people that have genuinely been born again, keep his commandments. Keep his commandments and he'll give joy by lengthening our days. I was reading in Isaiah today for my Bible reading, and it was talking about Hezekiah and when Isaiah came to him, and Hezekiah was about to die, and Isaiah came to him, and he said, set thine house in order. You're going to die. Turn over there with me real quick before I mess this up. Isaiah chapter 38 says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. See, Hezekiah, he was about to die. Isaiah came to him, told him to set his house in order. Hezekiah had prayed to God, and God, because of Hezekiah's character that he had, see, Hezekiah could have followed the other kings, but he decided not to. He didn't follow the idols and all that thing. But do you know a little bit about Hezekiah tonight? I'm just going to take and assume that maybe tonight we know a little bit about Hezekiah. And because of the type of person that Hezekiah was, all these things we talked about, I think, would apply in his life. God said he was going to give him 15 more years. And he did that. And I was reading that today, and I just thought, you know, Hezekiah, he probably had joy because of that in his life. So be someone that has character, put confidence in God, don't be conceited, and keep his commandments. Lastly, if I want to live in joy, I must honor God with my capital. I have to honor him with my things. I mean, they came from him, didn't they? The things that we have came from God, amen? Everything we have is God's. We can't purposely rob God and live in joy. If a man robs a bank and gets caught, what happens to him? He goes to jail. If we rob God, we're going to get caught, and what's going to happen to us? We're going to pay for it. We're going to suffer for it. We're going to go into problems. Look at verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. When we give, we get. Verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So how do I live in joy? This is my closing that I've been trying to build up for. How do I live in joy? Keep his commandments, plus having character, plus putting total confidence in God, plus not being conceited, plus honoring God with our capital. The product is, I get to live in joy. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor?
Let's stand tonight. Stand tonight. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If the musicians will come, have a time of invitation, great message, write down the line of the text there, a very familiar passage, but let's don't lose it. Let's don't let familiarity just go right past us. All of those things are situations with which we need to give attention to on a regular basis. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. It is sometimes in the season, which we spoke about, that is supposed to be a season of joy, that real joy sometimes is circumvented by inconsequentials or surface joy, fleshly joy. But it is perhaps, you know, at this time of year when we sing things like joy to the world, that you and I ought to most desire the joy that God wants to bring in. Trevor gave us a very nice outline tonight that anybody follows that, then joy is the result. You know how dreadful it would be to live a Christian life that is maybe not absent of joy, but it's just not necessarily the joy that God has for you. I think that would be the essence of living an unfulfilled life. As I have joy from this, 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 and this, but how unfulfilling it would be to look back on your life and say, you know, I don't know, I can't honestly say whether I've really had God's joy. I've had some good times, I've had some fun. So I'd encourage you tonight, you have a good pattern before you in the passage that he presented, and God wants you to have that joy. God wants you to have that joy. Do you want to have that joy? If the Lord speak to your hearts tonight, heads are bowed, our eyes are closed as these are praying. Perhaps you need to pray as well. God, would you help me? already feel the pressure coming. Lord, I already feel the strain. Lord, the first thing you said was keep your commandments, and that just puts more pressure, more strain, all of these things. Well, really it is a question of which strain do you want? The pressure that the world brings or the good pressure from trying to be obedient to God? Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Just a moment longer as these are praying. The Lord speak to your heart tonight.